Welcome everyone to the third shiur in the series of Rosh Hashanah. We are focusing on the second perek. We started already the first two shiurim with a discussion, just a reading of the Gemara for basically the first blot of the perek. And we are now in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're going to be getting at the two dots towards the top of the Amud where we last left off. So far, just as a quick recap of the shiurim that we did, first shiur that we did was the opening of the perek. The opening of the perek starts on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and it talks about character witnesses. The idea that when you have witnesses coming into the Beis Din, so not only do these witnesses are going to come in and going to testify, but you need character witnesses, another set of character witnesses, to make sure that these witnesses that come in are good. Now, as we discussed already, everyone has a cheskes kashrus, and when you go into Beis Din, nobody normally suspects you of saying something that would be a falsehood. Nevertheless, because of incidents that occurred, so therefore character witnesses were required by the Chachamim. Okay, and we spoke a little bit at the end of that first year. We talked about Hefker Beis Din Hefker. You remember there was an incident where somebody got paid in order to testify. He was actually a good guy. He went into the court. He told the judge that the truth of the matter is that I got paid to lie, but I came here to let everybody know I'm not going to lie, and there's a group of people out there that are wanting to pay people to lie. So, that was, and we covered the topic of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, because Beis Din then told the guy you can keep the money, based on the principle of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. That was our first shiur. Our second shiur, which we covered last week, had to do with the topic of informing the masses about Rosh Chodesh. Beis Din decided which day is Rosh Chodesh. We went in detail last week in terms of there are two and only two candidates of which day could become Rosh Chodesh. It's either going to be the 30th or the 31st of the month. It's either going to be a Chasar or a Maleh. We went over all the terminology last week. Beis Din then announces which day it is Rosh Chodesh, and information is then wired over to Bavel. But it's not wired over to Bavel, and here's going to be the worst pun of the day. It's fired over to Bavel. Fires are going to be lit mountaintop to mountaintop. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. I did that for you. Fire is going to be lit from mountaintop to mountaintop until you got all the way to Bavel. And that was the way that message was broadcast. Last week, we went into a very technical discussion in terms of on which night did they light the fire. They didn't light either of the nights, neither the night after the 30th or the night of the 31st. They only lit one of those two nights. Why didn't they light both nights? That's what we discussed last week. This week what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through the Gemara, but I'm going to be really briskly running through the Gemara from here until the next Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, and we begin. So quoting from the Mishnah, so the Mishnah over here gives the description of there were cedar beams that were lit on fire and waved. And now the Gemara is going to go into some detail regarding cedar. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Arba Minei Arazim Haim. There are four kinds of cedar. Eretz Katrom, Eitz Shemen, Uvrosh. So the Gemara gives names. Names that to us don't mean anything. And even if I translate into English, it still wouldn't mean anything. Katrim Amarav Adra. So, but the Gemara itself wants a Aramaic translation of these words. So the Gemara now is going to provide what is an Aramaic translation. Again, for you and I, it's, you know, it's not that helpful. Katrom Amarav Adra. So Katrom, according to Rav, is Adra. Debe Rav Shila Amre Mavliga. So he says it's Mavliga. The Amri La Zugulmish. So three opinions in terms of what the Katrom is. Upliga the Rabba Baravuna, arguing with Rabba Baravuna. The Amar Rabba Baravuna Amre Be Rav. Asari Mine Arazim Haim. So he's of the opinion that there are actually 10 types of cedar. Shenamah, the Pasuk says, Atim Be Midbar, Eret Shita Vahadas Ve Shemen, Asim Ba'arava Barosh Tidar, Use Ashur Yachdav. So the Pasuk over here, from Yeshayahu, gives us the idea that there are 10. Now the Gemara says, first, the Gemara identifies the trees over here. Erez is Arza, so Erez is cedar. Shita Tornisa, again, now these are different types of trees. My interpretation of these dreams are not going to be that particularly helpful, so again, I'm just going to be running through the Gemara. Hadas is Asa, now this one we know, that's myrtle. Okay, and it's funny because generally speaking, we don't think of the myrtle as a cedar tree. But anyway, Hadas is Asa. A shemen afarsama. A shemen is a reference to a balsam. A barosh barasa. Barosh is barasa, whatever that may be. Tedar shaga. Tashur shor viga. So good. So now we have Aramaic translations. The Gemara now notes the problem that the heading over here is that we're going to list 10 cedars. Now, if you've been keeping count, which admittedly I'm going fast, but if you've been keeping count, there are actually 7 that are listed, and that is 3 short of what we want. We want 10. So hani shiva havu, so that's 7. Ki asa rav dimi amar. So Rav Dimi says, Hosif Alem, they added to them, Alonim Almogim, sorry, Alonim Almonim Almogim. So they added three more types of cedar trees. Alonim Butne, and again, the Gemara now is just going to be giving definitions, Aramaic definitions. So Alome is Butne, and Almonim is Baluti, and Almogim is Kisisa. Igidarmi, now according to another version, Arugim Armunim Almogim. Now that's another version. Aronim is Are, and again, these are Aramaic translations of these three additional trees. Armonim is Dulve, and Almogim is Kisisa. Okay, the Gemara now is going to be giving a description of getting coral from the sea. The Gemara is honestly moving off on a tangent, but we're going to be on this tangent for a very short period of time. V'si adir lo ya'avirenu. And the Gemara first quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, and presumably the connection over here between this Gemara and the previous Gemara is that they're both citing from Yeshayahu, but that's not enough of a connection. It's not the same parak. Anyway, si adir lo ya'avirenu. The pasuk says that the ships cannot cross it. Amra avzur buni gedola. This is a description of a very ship, a very big ship. Hechi avdu, and what they would do. Maisi shisafe gavri betrei so yachei shasa. They would bring 6,000 men in a year's time, or 12,000 men in 6 months' time, and the thousands of men would load the ship with sand until it basically weighted down into the floor of the river. And then what happened is that they would send down an Amorai. Amorai, you look at Rashi over here, he is Meluma Lashupanaros. Okay, they had a diver even back in the day. They caught our atuna debisna bekisna and tied ropes to the corals that were on the bottom of the ocean. They caught the lubespinasa, tie the other end to the boat. They not luchala v'shadu levrai, and then they would take the sand and unload the sand from the boat. They come the malia akre masya, and now as the ship is coming up, it's gonna take the coral with it. Okay, if anything, by the way, what we should gain from the Gemara is an appreciation of the kind of engineering that was used even in the time of the Gemara. Despite the fact that, as I mentioned, we're going to be running through this quickly, but at least just some basic ideas that we're going to get from this. Now, as far as how valuable coral was, one coral was exchanged for two pieces of silver. Other way around. Two pieces of coral exchanged for one piece of silver. Coral was very valuable. There were three parts. Tarti be'arma. Two was in the territory of Aram, and Bechad de Bey Parsa, and the other one was in Persian territory. De Bey Aram, Maskin Kisisa, in the port of Aram, they would bring up the coral, and De Bey Parsa, Maskin Marganisa. And in the port of the Persians, they would bring up the pearls. Umakri Parvasa de Mashig, and it was called Parvasa de Mashig, okay. Amrav Yochanan Koshita Beshita Shadat Lunachrim Yishoayim. And the Gemara now is going to launch into total Agadata. The Gemara says that For every tree, every cedar tree that was taken from Yerushalayim in its destruction, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Amla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return it. Shenamar the pasuk says, Atem Be'Midbar Ereshita, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the Midbar. Now Midbar we translate as desert. In a moment we're going to see that it's going to mean the Beis HaMikdash. So Ve'Ein Midbar LeYerushalayim Shenamar Tziyam Midbar Isa. So we see that word Midbar is used for a description of Yerushalayim. We mentioned also the Hadas, so the Gemara is also going to quickly recap a little bit of Agadata as it relates to the Hadas. Anyone who knows Torah but refuses to teach it is like a myrtle in the desert. Useless. Igidami, now in a slightly different version, let's say you're teaching Torah in a place where there are not a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, Dom la Hadas b'Midbar. So it is like the Hadas in the Midbar. In other words, it's like an oasis. De Chaviv, people love it. The Amar of Yochanan, Oylam la Ovdei Chachamim she'ein lam takana. Woe to the non-Jews, and specifically to the group of non-Jews who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Probably the Gemara here is making reference to the Romans. But Oylam la Ovdei Chachamim she'ein lam takana. Tachas nechoshes avi zahav, v'sachas ha-barzel avi kasef, v'sachas ha-etim nechoshes, v'sachas ha-avanim barzel. So once again, we're quoting from Psukim in Yeshayahu. And the Gemara now darshan. Tachas Rabbi Akiva chavre mai mevin. Now, in place of Rabbi Akiva, what can they possibly bring as a replacement for Rabbi Akiva? meaning it's the Romans who destroyed Rabbi Kiva, and for that, there simply is no replacement. And to that, Va'aleimu Omer, the Pasuk says, V'nikesi dam lo nikesi. That they just simply, there's nothing that they can do to undo the destruction and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the killing of the Asara Haruge Machos. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amen Aleph. Then we go back to the Mishnah and we mapped out the trajectory of where the fires were lit from mountain to mountain. My Beis Biltin. So what is Beis Biltin? Amarav Zubiram. Beis Biltin is a reference to Biram. Again, it's a location. It's on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, my Gola. And when it says that the entire Gola sees it, it doesn't mean the entire Golos. It can't. In other words, Golos is a... It's a country. It's a large swatch of area. It has to be referring specifically to a city. I'm Rav Yosef Zu Pimpadisa. It's a reference to Pimpadisa. My Kimadura Seish. Now, what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says it looks like a bonfire? Tana the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kol Echa V'Echa Notal Avuka B'Yado. Everybody would take a torch onto their take a torch in their hand. V'Olo Rosh Gago and go onto the rooftops. And basically, it must have been an unbelievable sight when the fire eventually reached to Pimpadisa. So everyone in excitement would basically take a small bonfire or just a torch and go to the top of the roof and wave it. So that was that's how it looked in Pumbedisa. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Charim V'Chayer V'Geder V'Chavrasah. Torches were also lit on these mountaintops. Okay, and these are the names of various mountain regions. Again, don't ask me geographically where they are. I don't know. Igedam Ribenu Avenu Havakayme. Some say that these particular places that were added, not in the Mishnah, but they were somewhere within the trajectory of the Mishnah. Some say that they were on the other side of Eretz Yisrael. So Mar Chashiv Dahagisa, one of them are basically giving us one side, Umar Chashiv Dahagisa, and the other one says it's on the other side of Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Yochanan Mekol Achas V'Achas Shmona Parsavs. In terms of between the mountains, how long a gap are we talking about? 8 parsels. Now, admittedly, by the way, this is going to be a little bit difficult because 8 parsels is about 3 miles, approximately. There were 5 checkpoints in the Mishnah, so 3 times 5, 15 miles. It doesn't work out so well based on the geography that we're familiar with. Okay. I don't have any way to resolve it. Anyway, let's just finish up. Kama havaluhu. So Tasim v'Tarkin. So the Gemara describes it as 32 parcels. Vaha aina to vahava. Now the Gemara itself notes that nowadays it seems like there's many more. So Amar Abaye istamune istamlu darke. So the Gemara gives an answer which again it's just hard for us to understand based on the geography as we know it. But the Gemara says that there were really shortcuts, but the shortcuts were cut off. And dichtiv the pasuk says lachen ini sachis darkach besirim. So some of the shorter pathways are cut off. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar mehacha dichtiv nesivosa ava. He twisted my pathways. Anyway, the idea that some of the shorter paths were cut off, and it could in fact be somewhat plausible that there are 32 parcels separating the first checkpoint in Eretz Yisrael to the last checkpoint in Pumbedisa. Okay. We are fine. Good. Okay. We are going to be starting now the following. We are, as you can see, right coming up ahead now, we have a Mishnah. We're not going to start this Mishnah now, but I want to give a preview to the upcoming Mishnayos, and I want to ask a big question, and at least this evening, give what is going to be like a shocking answer. Okay. The question I'm going to ask seems to be very simple, and let's start off with a very simple question. How did they establish which day was Rosh Chodesh? Meaning, like we discussed last week, there are two possible candidates in terms of which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. It's either going to be the 30th of the month or the 31st. For those of you who are not yet fully clear on this, meaning that a month can either be 29 days or 30 days, which means that Rosh Chodesh is either going to be the 30th day, which means that'll be day one, or Rosh Chodesh will be the 31st day, that day will be day one. Like we already discussed last week, in terms of why 29-30, why 30-31, It's based on astronomy, not astrology. It's based on astronomy. It takes the moon an average of 29 days, 12 hours, and 43 minutes approximately to make a full revolution around the Earth. So that means to say that we can't make Rosh Chodesh 29 and a half days. It has to be complete days. So we toggle back and forth between 29 and 30 so that it averages out to 29 and a half days. Like I said last week, that's an oversimplification because every month there's also an additional 43 minutes and they accumulate very quickly. After 1 year's time, you're looking at, that's 12 times 43. So that is about 9 hours already. That accumulates after a full year. Anyway, it's an oversimplification. Okay, on top of that, just to make matters more complicated, we also have to add an extra month about every 3 years. Okay, so the system admittedly is complicated, but I'm just asking right now a really rudimentary question. And that is, how exactly was it going to be established which of those 2 days is going to be Rosh Chodesh? So what I would propose to you is the simplest answer. And if you learned the Gemara Rosh Hashanah already, or if at least you learned the Mishnayos of Rosh Hashanah already, or if you have learned at all, you probably heard that we have the system called Edom. It's witnesses. What happens is that the witnesses are going to be seeing the sliver of the new moon. Okay, for those of you who are not really attuned to watching the new moon, first of all, it is a minor obsession of mine. I don't know how it is that I became so connected with this, but I do obsess a little bit over the cycle of the moon. So, but if you're following, it means as follows. In the beginning of every month, the moon will disappear for about a 24-hour period, meaning there is alignment between the earth, the moon, and the sun, and so you can't see the moon because the entire dark side of the moon is now facing us. There are occasions where the moon is directly in front of the earth, and that's what's called a eclipse. What is getting eclipsed, and that's going to be the sun. It's a solar eclipse, which is created by the moon, by the shadow of the moon. Anyway, and then what happens is as follows. Then you're going to be seeing the beginning of the new moon. The new moon is going to be trailing the sun. So that means to say that the first opportunity you're going to have to see the new moon is after the sun sets in the west. There will be a sliver of that very new moon around the first, second day of Rosh Chodesh, but I don't want to give a number. I'll just say right now, the beginning of the new month, there's going to be a sliver of the new moon that is going to be following the sun right down and drop into the western horizon. Everything in the sky goes in an east-west trajectory. Everything goes in an east-west trajectory, and that's because of the rotation of the earth. I know I sound like a science teacher right now, but it's just very basic information that we have to know. So that means that as the sun is setting in the west, the moon is immediately following it, and you're seeing just that sliver. The sliver is going to be, I know I'm showing everyone here, so on audio you don't see, the sliver is going to be pointing upwards, and that is what you're going to be seeing, and there's a small window of time that you get to see it, because it's following the sun, it's also setting in the west, and maybe a couple of hours of time to see it. The Mishnah gives descriptions, and the Mishnah we're about to see together gives us descriptions in which you see the new moon, you run to the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, you tell the Beis Din you saw the new moon, you have to have two kosher witnesses, and when all that happens, Beis Din is going to declare it Rosh Chodesh. Okay, and that all leads me to the following. We're going to see Mishnah after Mishnah that speaks to this idea. And then if I ask you the question, well, what's going to determine which day is Rosh Chodesh? The answer would seem to be very simple. Whenever the Edom come into the Beis Din, and declare that they saw the new moon. Now, even in this system that I'm proposing right now, which seems to be the way the Mishnayos are presenting it, we understand it can't be, it can only be the 30th or the 31st day. It can't be the 29th day to be Rosh Chodesh, and it can't be the 32nd day. Meaning, even in this system, it has to be either day 30 or day 31, which is going to be the new Rosh Chodesh. Okay. That's one possibility. However, there is actually another possibility. And that is Al Pi HaCheshbon. Beis Din knows astronomy. Beis Din knows astronomy, and as we're going to see in just a moment, Moshe Rabbeinu knew astronomy. Now, did he know it with the kind of understanding that we have? I'd like to think the answer is yes. It's irrelevant towards our discussion in terms of whether he saw it exactly the same way we do. But it's suffice to say that they knew astronomy. The idea that the moon revolves around the earth on a cycle of 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim, that's an idea that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he transmitted that idea to Yahushua, and that idea keeps getting transmitted from generation to generation. And when Beis Din now is going to make the determination of which day is Rosh Chodesh, so the way they're going to decide is very simple, meaning they know exactly when the when you're going to have alignment. Let's give that another term to describe it. It's called the molad. They know exactly when the alignment is going to be. They know exactly when the molad is going to be. And based on that, they're just going to simply establish which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. And then the question, which we're not going to answer this week, but we will answer next week, if this is really the way that Beis Din did it, so then what's the Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah talking about? What's the Gemara talking about when it talks about the process of the Edim? Why do I need the Edim if we're anyway just going to rely on astronomy and calculation? And a primary source that discussed this topic, and it's going to be eye-opening. It really, right, when I prepared for Shira tonight, I kind of knew the position of Rabbeinu Chananel, but now that I'm here and now I got a chance to prepare, I really was a little surprised at how definitively he says it and like where exactly he stands on this issue. And so what we're going to be going together is the Rabbeinu Bachya in Parsha Shmos. It's really an unconventional source to discuss in a Gemara Shir, but you're going to see, though, that as far as our topic is concerned, it's really important. It's like it serves as a primary source. Let's take a look together over here at the Rabbeinu Bachya in the beginning. You're going to find this in, if you have a Chumash or if you have a parish of Rabbeinu Bachya, you're going to find it in Pasuk Beis. It's the opening of the 12th parak of Shmos. Happens to be that I have it on the Marim Kamos. And we're going to go through it inside. It really is critical. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. So this is to you the new month. Lo Amar Deborah El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. Now Rabbeinu Bachya notes at the beginning of Perek Yud Beis and Shmos, by the way, that is the source of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, it does not say, speak to B'nei Yisrael. Ki haya b'mashmash ha-mitzvah l'chol echa mi-Yisrael l'kvor chadashim la'aver shanim. Because then it would give the impression that the mitzvah is on you and me. It'd be on the masses. And the Rabbeinu Bachya writes, and you can see I gave this an underline. I think it's important. Ein ha-mitzvah ki im le-beizdin mumchin, ke-Moshe va-Aaron. This mitzvah is only on Moshe and Aaron. The mitzvah is not on you and me. You and I do not have the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The mitzvah is on Moshe and Aaron, it's on Beizdin. Al-Kein ba-Hadavar l-Shnehem. And that's why the pasuk, when introducing the parsha of Kiddush HaChodesh, says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron." That's it. In other words, they're not Bnei Yisrael. Leficha chizkir lachem, klamer Beis Din mumche kayotze bechem. And the pasuk does say the word lachem, but that means it's going to be a Beis Din. Ve'amar chodesh hazeh hu chodesh nisan v'karu hakasav rishon hu sha'amar rishon hu lachem. Now here's what we get to do. He's going to go over a little bit about the months. The Ramban makes a big deal about this in Chumash. We don't give the month's name. The Torah doesn't give the month's name. We end up using names that were used in Bavel. We could skip it because it's not relevant to our discussion. And let's go back, however, because I'm going to skip a little bit. And let us pick it up right over here. The Inyan HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim Ein Kavanah Zekasav LaHazir Osan LaAvir Shanim Lekvor Chodashim Al Pi Arias HaLavana. So the Rabbeinu Bachya says it is not our responsibility. He's talking to the masses, you and me. It's not our responsibility to make sure when Rosh Chodesh is. Ki b'kviyos ha-chadashim ein ikar b'tor l'chush l'riyas ha-lavana. Because when it comes to establishing a new month, seeing the new moon is not significant. I'm going to repeat that for emphasis because it's going to run counter to everything we're going to see in the Mishnayos. Ki b'kviyos ha-chadashim in ikar b'tor l'chush l'riyas ha-lavana. Im tira muta v'im lo tira b'yom ha-kviyos. Ela kodem l'chein o acharei kein l'yom o yomayim einanu choshishim. You see the new moon a day after Rosh Chodesh, a day before Rosh Chodesh. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, as far as the Torah is concerned, I don't care. Ki lo nitzavinu b'tor l'kvor ha-chadashim al-pi riyas ha-levana. The mitzvah in the Torah is not to establish a month based on the seeing of the new moon. Ki im al pi acheshbon. The only mitzvah for basin to establish a new month is only al pi acheshbon, using calculation, math, astronomy. That's it. That's their only compass in terms of establishing when the new month is going to be. Okay. Again, I hope I'm emphasizing this enough. This is shocking information. Shocking. Because Rabbeinu Chananel Zal and Rabbeinu Bachya here quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the later Gaonim. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Kviyas HaChadashim Einu El Al Pi HaChesh Mal Al Pi Riyas HaLavana. Rabbeinu Chananel says it as well, that as far as establishing the new month, math, astronomy, calculations, and it has nothing to do with seeing the new moon. V'haray Shekol Arbim Shana. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachya is going to bring down a couple of proofs. Here's what I will do for the remainder of this evening. I'm going to go through a couple of the proofs of the Rabbeinu Bachya, and then I'll stop. And then we'll stop for this week. Next week, we have to answer the obvious question. But first, let's go through a couple of proofs, and then I'm going to set up for next week. Because of Rabbeinu Chananel, I did that already. Let's go. Number one. V'haray shekol arbaim shana shayisro b'midbar hayu ha'anan mechaseh osam b'yom v'amud eish layla. V'lo ra'u b'kulam shemesh b'yom v'lo yarech b'layla. So one proof says, Rabbeinu Chananel, it's really Rabbeinu Bachya. One proof is that the Jewish people went through the desert for 40 years in total coverage. Coverage during the day, coverage at night. We didn't see the sun by day, we didn't see the moon by night. V'hu shamar akasav, the Pasuk says, in Nehemiah, V'ata berachamech rabim lo azavtem b'midbar asamud anan lo sami aleim b'yomam, lan chosam ba'aderech v'asamud ha'ish b'layla ha'ir lahem, u'mehechen ha'yukovim chadashon al pi riyas ha'lavana. And so for those 40 years, if we can't see the sun, moon, and stars above us, so how exactly were we establishing Rosh Chodesh? Now, the proof is not an absolute proof, I understand. These are rayos, but they're not, you can argue. And over here, look, they were in the Midbar, their man was coming down from Shemayim, so it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just informed them when the new moon came out. The proof over here is not ironclad, but he's not going to have just but one proof. Ela bevadai akar mitzvah because of api acheshbon vihine, and he continues misors biadin laolam, and we have the following tradition ki yud beis kadosh hashana hechadash mehem kol echad lamed yom vehechadash mehem kol echad mehem chavtes yom, and we work with the following cycle, meaning this is just basic Rosh Chodesh information. In 1 year, in a regular year of 12 months, 5 are going to have 30 days, 5 are going to have 29 days, ushnai mehem. And 2 months are going to be adjustable. Pamim shnayim lamed upamim shem chavtes. Pamim echad mehem lamed vashini chavtes ushnei chadashim halalu heimar cheshvan and kislev. What are the two adjustable months of the year? Mar cheshvan and kislev. Okay, it's so funny. When you and I were in grade school, I'm even going back to my schooling. So they had us memorize which months had 30 days, which months had 39, at 31 days, right, except for February. Like, why doesn't every school child know this? It's unfortunate. Meaning, it's basic. It's basic, basic Jewish month information. Now, we of course know that Tishrei is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Now, every month is, and here Rabbeinu Bachya tells us what I already shared with you, is 29 and a half days and 793 halakim. Now, for those of you who didn't hear me before, they didn't divide their hours into minutes. They divide their hours into just simple units called a chelek. An hour is divided into 1,080 chalakim. It comes out to about 3 1/3 seconds. Okay, that was just simply their way of dividing an hour. Anyway, it's about 43 minutes. Umeforsh timatze bekasuv umnei yisachar yodebin alitim ladas ma yaseh yisrael v'shem masayim v'chol achem al pihem. And on top of that, Yisachar was the one who had this kind of insight in terms of establishing the calendar. The Ein Lechadav Shetzar Chachma Bina Lekvo Itim Oadim Ki Macheshman Shu Soda Ibor. Now, in terms of establishing the calendar, you need Chachma. Now, if it's just a question of seeing the new moon, that doesn't require Chachma. If it's a question of math and astronomy, that requires Chachma. Avariya Salavana Davar Yadua. Anyone can see the moon. Ki Kishalavana Nirat Hakol Yodin Shu Rosh Chodesh. V'chag ha-matzos b'tesvav, v'rosh Hashanah b'echa b'tishrei, v'yam ha-kippurim b'asar bo, v'sukkos b'tesvav bo, ava ha-cheshbon eino ela lechachamim, mechashvim mo'odim l'Yisrael, v'him osim apiyem. V'zeh shekasov l'adaz ma yaseh Yisrael v'shem masayim v'chol achem apiyam yatsu v'apiyam yavo. Good. The chachma that was invested in Yisachar in terms of establishing is because it was established based on calculations. Okay. That was a lot of information. Let's set ourselves up now for next week. We now have just a massive chiddush dropped on us by Rabbi Nobachya, and he's quoting Rabbi Nochanan as well. And he wants to advocate this idea that the establishment of the new month is not done by the Edim and the seeing of the new moon, but rather it's done al pi acheshbon. It's done with astronomy and math, based on the calculations that we just went through together. Okay. The question is obvious. When you learn the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and when you learn the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to start the Mishnah next week, and the Gemara as well, you do not get this idea at all. The idea that we get from the Mishnayos and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Chodesh is established by the Edim and the seeing of the new month. And the details in which the Gemara is going to go through in terms of, did you see the moon? How did you see the moon? What part of the sky was it in? It makes it certainly sound like Rosh Chodesh is based on the witnessing of the new moon. And Rabbeinu Bach and Rabbeinu Chanan will say, that's not the case at all. So then obviously, we have a lot of explaining to do. So why is the Gemara spending so much time on the Edim and the witnessing of the new moon? The question really could be even more basic than that. Why do we even have the Edim and the new moon if ultimately it's all done by Cheshbon? I'll ask another very basic question. Was the system of the Edim and the witnessing of the new moon, was that always around? Did that exist from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? Sounds like the way Rabbeinu Bachya presents it. No. From the time that the Torah was given, the new moon was established by calculation. If that's true, when did the system of the Edom come in with the witnessing of the new moon? All right, so we have a lot to explain right now, but again, all this starts with the basic Chiddush. And I'll just add at the very end, I'm sure you can imagine, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Nobachya, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Nochanana, but this certainly is a position. It is for sure an extreme position, but it is an accepted position, and we look forward to doing more on this topic next week.